The hypnotic chants which you have just heard belongs to Uzbek Muslim women who meet in private spaces to perform rituals and pray together. These gatherings are not uncommon and find their roots in Uzbekistan's shamanic traditions. A look at the country's history, particularly the Soviet colonization followed by Uzbekistan's independence, sheds light on the importance of building and maintaining one's Muslim identity for traditional as well as social or cultural reasons. In fact, pious women who practice their faith in groups have had an important influence on the post-Soviet Uzbek society. But how? Hello everyone, and thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the first episode of our Women Rising podcast, where each week we discuss culturally influential female figures whose knowledge and resourcefulness have instigated social changes in their society. This week we will be talking about the Otan in Uzbekistan, so stay tuned to understand how these spiritual guides have made an impact on social-cultural relationships in their country. First of all, how is the religious expression of women in Uzbekistan framed? Do they benefit from a special form of congregational authority that differs from the men? Do they have any specific spiritual guides, leaders, who are responsible for creating and maintaining a community of pious women? These queries have led me on the path of the Otan, Quranic teachers with a particular social and religious background. Otans are talented singers, poets, and dancers. In fact, their performance skills have given them the license to be spiritual leaders. They educate women about Islam, officiate ceremonies, and carry out rituals as part of their religious functions. Through their activity, Otans have also formed a community in which women can cultivate and express their own religiosity, which also influences their relationships with the world outside of the domestic realm. Otans are important to women's agency. Women in Uzbekistan have had limited access to knowledge, as well as certain public spaces, such as mosques, for instance. The fact that they are seen as second-class citizens is at the root of such limitations. However, this gender division has favored the preservation of different religious practices that remain connected to pre-Islamic traditions. Otans have been the carrier of that tradition and Uzbek society throughout Soviet times, and have become even more relevant during the country's Islamic revival. Okay, that was a lot of information, so let's backtrack a little bit, shall we? Before deconstructing the role of the Otan and how they have influenced Uzbek society, it is important to frame who they are and to explain their functions a little more precisely. For that purpose, historical context is necessary. So who are the Otans? They are usually referred to as teachers or guides with a very good knowledge of the Quran. More traditionally, they also come from a specific social-cultural background. They're usually born into wealthy families and inherit spiritual knowledge that has been passed down from generations, usually from their mothers. They are considered the female version of mullahs, and they are sometimes married to imams too. They are respected dancers, singers, and poets. Their skills come from Uzbekistan's shamanic traditions that predate Islam, back when Zoroastrianism was prominent in the Fergana Valley. Before the Russian Revolution in 1917, Otans would teach in Muslim schools for girls known as maktabs. They were also ceremony leaders during Muslim celebrations and would monitor female gatherings during which participants would chant mystical poetry, often written by Sufi writer Ahmad Yasavi. Religious practices were interrupted during Soviet times. 10 years after the Bolshevik Revolution, an attempt was made to eradicate Islam, which the Communist Party considered to be an oppressive system. The question of gender quickly became central in this campaign. The belief that Muslim women in the region needed saving from oppression led to mosques and religious schools being either closed or destroyed. The desire to involve women in public and social life clashed significantly with their own cultural and religious identity. Informal domestic religious practices then began to increase, and women were respected as carriers of that religious knowledge. Following the collapse of the Soviet Union and the independence of Uzbekistan, the Oden began playing a role in the Islamic revival due to a number of reasons, but to say it in a few words, they represented elements of Uzbek culture that predated colonialism. As the country was trying to rebuild its national, cultural, and religious identity, the Oden inserted themselves as the carriers of that special religion and offered guidance to born-again Muslims who wanted to cultivate their piety. All right, now that we have briefly explained their role in Uzbek history, we can ask the question, how exactly have the Oden been able to empower women and instigate social changes through their rituals and ceremonies? First of all, it is important to acknowledge the place of women in Uzbek society in order to understand how the Oden were influential in their lives. Following Uzbekistan's independence in 1991, there was an increase in born-again Muslims as a consequence of the country's re-Islamization. Naturally, this affected social-cultural relationships. Women wanted to cultivate their piety through collective prayer, and Otens were able to provide both guidance as well as a safe space for them to do that. As the wives of imams, they benefited from a particular form of authority, meaning they have a strong influence on women who seek spiritual knowledge. They have introduced a new form of leadership and monitored gatherings between women, particularly in the light of gender separation in Uzbekistan. Indeed, after marriage, the role of Uzbek women is limited to domestic life. They are not expected to have a voice and are certainly not always welcome in public spaces. During Uzbekistan's re-Islamization, women understood through the Oden that the domestic space was the best place for them to participate in their faith and grant them agency. Scholar Svetlana Peshkova explains how the space created by the Oden for their activity has changed the structure of social relations because women could pray in private gatherings, which suited them more. In fact, for many, praying in a mosque would be unthinkable. Svetlana heard from a born-again Muslim woman that they should never be allowed in mosques because they're too simple-minded to successfully pray in a public space. Muslim women understood that a private or domestic place was ideal for them to practice their faith and suited their positionality in society. This decision also empowered them as it gave them the agency to pray in private groups, which also preserved them from both religious and secular authorities, giving them an added freedom. Now you may wonder, how exactly do the Oden manage to create a strong community of pious women? Religious ceremonies contain social and spatial dynamics. Muslim men can socialize at the mosque, which is a public space, but the Otens practice a more private form of Islam. In fact, parts of their belief is that faith and transformation need to occur on a more personal level before it can be taught to others, which is pushing for a more intimate form of religiosity. Regardless, through religious gatherings, women still manage to remain socially active by creating sacred spaces in their own homes. The Oden organized private gatherings in domestic settings, which introduces a new form of congregational prayer, where women come together. Otens live in mahallas, neighborhoods in which tradition and religion are cherished, as well as mutual respect and help between neighbors are always prioritized. The mahalla forms a tight-knit community, which also plays a role in people's social and cultural development, naturally. Through collective prayer, Otens also create a network between women in their own neighborhood. The rituals themselves are also responsible for strengthening social bonds between women. The Otens offer an oral form of Islam that includes chants and folk tales. This particular form of prayer also allows women to reach a growing emotional intensity that binds them. The Oden's knowledge of Arabic and their ability to cite the Quran has earned them the trust of other Muslim women to teach and sing the hadiths. And when the voices of women come together during the prayer, they summon the light that comes from God, which is called Nur. Collective prayers are very dynamic. Some women sway back and forth, others cry while they chant. The Oden in the Fergana Valley have preserved the main manner of showing their devotion to God through these recitations of the Quran. They also perform the zikr, which is a reminiscent of an old style of worship, which means remembrance of God. They also officiate various rites of passage, birth, circumcision, weddings, and mournings. During circumcision, for instance, the role of the otin is to comfort the mother who is weeping for her child in pain. On that occasion, she will read poetry. She will also sing and recite stories for families who are in mourning. The otin encourages women to cry and to find relief through a raw expression of their emotions. This form of social effervescence also contributes to their bonding, thus forming a community and developing social relationships. So far, it seems that the otins are respected for their spiritual lineage and as the carriers of traditional or special religion. They offer a private form of religiosity and empower women by helping them cultivate their piety in a domestic setting. Their religious gatherings, during which they chant and cite poetry, binds the women together. They provide a form of religious escapism while also creating a community where women are empowered by their faith and experience agency. However, otins have also managed to trigger some uneasiness among Islamists because of how they have instigated social changes. Indeed, some consider their activity as profane and accuse them of spreading false versions of Islam. Some are also accused of having insufficient knowledge and of commodifying Islam as they request payment for their services. The private gatherings that have also created this community and expanded social relations for women have also been the cause of controversy. Neighbors admitted that they disapprove of seeing women cross the mahalla, sometimes even at night, in order to meet the otin in their homes for their rituals. Their activity was framed as nearly clandestine, showing the duality of how Uzbek society views them. On one hand, the otin are associated with the preservation of tradition and religion, while also being seen as a threat to Islam and social order. Beyond the private gatherings, the support towards private religiosity has also become a cause for concern, particularly for the secular authorities in Uzbekistan. Otins and their activity have become the target of close monitoring due to the fear of radicalization in Central Asia. So to conclude on this week's episode, the otin are nuanced spiritual guides whose continued influence on Uzbek culture and religious identity is undeniable. Their ability to create a sacred space for pious women and supporting social relations through the act of collective prayer is a wonderful display of female empowerment that should not be overlooked. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope to catch you next week for our next story. Bye!